word this morning. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we turn now to your living and active word. We can come, Lord God, and hear the word read. We can hear it prayed in the hearts and in the mouths of your people. But we turn to the living and active word, looking to the Spirit of God to bring that, Lord God, into our hearts and minds, that we would hear the voice of God. And that you, Lord God, would give us wisdom to understand and to apply what it is that you're saying to us this morning, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So far in our series, Approaching a Holy God, we have seen the outer court of the tabernacle. We're looking at this whole subject of the tabernacle, or as I was joking a couple of weeks ago about the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the place where God promised, and this is really important, that God promised he would come and dwell with man, and that man would be allowed to approach him, because this was always the heart of God. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. It says, in the cool of the evening, the Lord was in the garden, and it comes across in such a way that this was the normal thing for God to be doing. And then when sin entered in, that separation came between God and man. But it was always in the heart of God to be able to dwell with man and to have man, in that generic sense, approach him. The outer court of the tabernacle separated the outside world from God. However, all who desired to serve God and approach him could do so, but only by strict adherence to God's conditions. A person would begin their approach by entering via the gate on the east side of the outer court. This was the only gate. There was no other way that a person could even begin to approach God. They had to come through the one and only gate on the east side of the outer court. But the good thing is this gate was never closed, and absolutely no one was barred from approaching God. Keith showed us when he did his talk on the laver for cleansing for the priests who served in the tabernacle. Keith showed us that the priests had to be cleansed. People had to be cleansed before they could serve the living God. But I'm going to pick up on that shortly. Last week, Dave spoke of the altar. And that's the first thing a person saw when they entered the court. And we were talking about this on the Bible study on Wednesday night. I mean, this wasn't something nice that you walked in and says, well, isn't that a beautiful altar? There was blood, there was guts, there was animals desperately trying to escape, there was people trying to drag them up to do whatever they had to do to offer them as sacrifices. And, you know, it was been stinking, but yet it was something of great, great significance. Because this is where the priests offered the sacrifices for and on behalf of the people. And so to approach God required a conscious decision on behalf of the seeker. They entered, as I said, via the gate of the outer court, and immediately they went through that gate, they were on holy ground. And the seeker would take their sacrifice to the priest who had cleansed himself earlier at the laver. So I want to read this morning from Exodus chapter 28, the first three verses, and Numbers chapter 3, I'm going to read a couple of verses there as well. So Exodus chapter 28 in the first three verses. God is speaking to Moses and he says this: Now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. And then over to Numbers chapter 3. And I'm reading from verse 5 through to 10. Again, the Lord speaking to Moses. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him. And they shall attend to his needs and the needs of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of meeting, to do the work of the tabernacle. And so they shall attend to all the furnishings of the tabernacle of meeting and to the needs of the children of Israel, to do the work of the tabernacle. And you shall give the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They are given entirely to him from among the children of Israel. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall attend to their priesthood. But the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. You see, this morning I want to look at the role of priests who ministered in the tabernacle. We've seen the outer court. Dave tried to explain the tabernacle was about the size of this building, maybe a little bit bigger. But the sort of outer court was larger, not much larger than the land outside of Shiloh here, the fenced area. And I want to speak about the role of the priests who actually ministered in the tabernacle. God had told Moses that he, God, had chosen of the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Israel, he had chosen the tribe of Levi to serve in the tabernacle. And again, this is because God chose. This isn't anything. He didn't choose Judah. He didn't choose Naphtali. He didn't choose Asher. He didn't choose these people. God chose to choose Levi to serve in the tabernacle. All ministries, every type of ministry, whether it's serving the tea or coffee, whether it's doing the cleaning, whether it's doing the music at the back, whether it's making sandwiches for a mission, in this case, all ministries in the tabernacle could only be carried out by God-ordained people. God also told Moses that his brother Aaron and his nephews, Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, were to be anointed as priests unto the Lord. So although the entire tribe of Levi were called to serve in the tabernacle, only the family of Aaron from this tribe was called to be priests. So even though God had come to dwell among men, he could not and would not and never will compromise his holiness. People could begin to approach God, to draw near to him, but because of his holiness, God ordained a way that had to be strictly followed lest people would die. So having consciously decided to approach God, and having entered through the only gate of the outer court, the seeker of God came first to the altar, where they required a priest to accept and offer their sacrifice. Ordinary people, the ordinary Jew, just couldn't approach God and offer their sacrifices. I mean, you see even where kings took it upon themselves to offer sacrifices, like Saul, and God removed him and removed his kingdom from him for doing so because he was not appointed to do that. Ordinary people couldn't just approach God and offer their sacrifices. They required a mediator, one who stood between them and God, to stand between them and God, and this was the role of the priest. But even the priests had to adhere to strict rules, because if you read about Nadab and Abihu, two of these guys who were appointed as priests of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu were killed for presuming to approach God in their own way and offer strange fire. They didn't adhere to the strict rules that God had laid down. Ordinary people couldn't just approach God and offer the sacrifices. They required a mediator to stand in the gap between them and God. And this was the role of the priests. The priests served as mediators between the people and God. They accepted the people's sacrifices and they offered them to God. It was also the role of the priests to teach people the law of God and the ways of God. They interceded on behalf of the people and sought God for guidance for individuals and for the nation of Israel as a whole. And as I said earlier, all ministry, all service in the tabernacle could only be carried out by God-ordained people in the God-ordained way. But there was another priest who came closer to God than all other priests. And he was known as the high priest. And Aaron, Moses' brother. Now remember, Aaron, Aaron was 83 when he went into Egypt with Pharaoh. And Moses to Pharaoh to take the people of Israel out. He was 83 then, so you know he's probably added a couple of more years to his life here. But he was appointed by God or ordained by God to be the first high priest. And as high priest, he was the only person permitted to enter into what was called the Holy of Holies. So if you can imagine here, and we'll get into this as we go through this series, if you could imagine coming in through the front doors into this main part, coming into the tabernacle, at the minute we've only got to the outer court where we see the altar and we see the laver and whatever else, but we're going to be going in over the next few weeks into the tabernacle itself. But in the tabernacle was another area, say like in the back here, which was the Holy of Holies. And this high priest was the only person permitted to enter into the Holy of Holies right inside the tabernacle. And he could only do this on one appointed day of the year. And that day is Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. Now the high priest, Keith, if you can put this up, he was clothed in special high priestly garments, and they were called garments of glory and beauty. Now I'm not sure if Dave's going to allow us to do a series on the priestly garments, but see the likes of these clothes that you see this guy wearing, from the turban right down, every one of these items and articles of clothing have incredible significance. Every one of these things points to Jesus. He was clothed in what is called garments of glory and beauty, which all spoke of the great high priest to come, Jesus. And so, for example, one such item was this breastplate there, right in the middle. It had 12 precious stones on four rows of three, and each of these precious gems had engraved on it one of the names of a tribe of Israel. And this meant that when the high priest entered into the most holy place in the tabernacle, he bore the names of all the tribes of Israel before the Lord. And here's a wee thing that I will tell you free of charge, nothing to do with this talk, that you this morning who can enter into God's presence, when you go in, Satan will tell you at times, oh, you got to keep praying this, keep praying that, keep praying that, to the point where you get fed up to the back teeth praying because you think, there's so many prayers that need to be prayed, I don't know what they should be praying for. The fact is, you pray for what is most important at that time that's on your heart. But when you are going into the Holy of Holies because of Jesus, all of those things are represented on your heart. All your loved ones' names are represented on your heart. Don't buy the lie from the devil that you can't go to sleep at night because you haven't prayed for this and haven't prayed for that, and haven't, because he will bog you down with that. You pray for what you're burdened for, and when you finished, you say amen. But you also have, in that sense, like a breastplate of righteousness, a breastplate on you, and inscribed on that is all of your loved ones. And all of the things that are burdens to you are there, and they're all represented before God. See, this high priest, when he walked in, and you'd love to talk about the turban that says holiness to the Lord. You'd love to talk about all of these things. In fact, even here, you don't see it, but when he went into the Holy of Holies, if he hadn't adhered strictly to the rules that God has said, they used to tie a rope round one ankle. And if they didn't hear him moving about, because some of the times they put wee bells, and if they didn't hear him moving about, that they just knew he was dead. And they actually pulled the rope. That's how I do with dead mice. I hate mice. I don't mind a living mouse. If it flew out, it scares me. But I'll try and catch it and stand on it. But if it's a dead mouse, I won't go anywhere near it. And so in any mouse traps that I put, there's a big long string, because I'll pull it with a string and drag it out and throw the whole lot into the bin. And so with this case, if he's in the Holy of Holies and he's hit the deck because he hasn't fulfilled what God has said, they dragged him out with a rope and obviously took him away and buried him. Because God does not compromise his holiness. Anyway, this guy, he went into the Holy of Holies on the appointed day and offered first the blood of the sacrifice for his own sins. So this guy was a sinner like the rest of us. He went in and he offered the blood of the sacrifice for his own sin and then for the sin of the nation of Israel. And God accepted his offering. And the interesting thing, it was called atonement, meaning that God and man were at one meant. It meant that they were at one. And throughout the year, you imagine this, throughout the year, if you were coming in through the outer court, in through that one and only gate, into the court of the tabernacle, there were animals everywhere, there was slaughtering taking place, and thousands of sacrifices were offered unto the Lord throughout the year. But only once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies and offer the blood of the sacrifice to atone, pardon me, for the sin of the nation. One day a year, one high priest offered one sacrifice to make atonement. At one meant. It's like when people talk about being justified, it's just if I'd never sinned. Atonement means at one meant between you and God, between man and God. Man and God at one, which was always the heart of God. And this is how God ordained it. Even though he had come to dwell with man and allow man to approach him, and this is the only guy who could get closest of all to God, God would not, could not, and never will compromise his holiness. However, as I've said and have been saying, everything to do with the tabernacle, its servants, its services, its ministries, even its utensils, even the very clothes, everything about it was divinely designed to point the Jews to one who was to come, God's Messiah, Jesus. And when Jesus came into the world to fulfill the will of God, and remember again, as I said, it was always God's will that he would draw near to man and have them approach him. When Jesus came into the world to fulfill the will of God, he first had to remove the barrier that separated man from God. Or we would still be depending on some bloke dressed in all of this glorious garb to go in on our behalf. But when Jesus came into the world, he came to remove the barrier that separated man from God, and that barrier was sin. And he, having committed no sin, being without blemish, Jesus went to the cross as the sacrificial lamb, dying to pay the price for our sin. Now, all of the sacrifices that were offered before this, right from the Garden of Eden, right through the tabernacle and all of the sacrifices that were offered there and in the temples that were to come, all of those sacrifices before only covered over the sin of the people. But when Jesus came, his offering removed it forever. And as God's great high priest, Jesus offered his own blood once and for all to make atonement at one-ment so God and man could be at one. Now here's the really interesting thing. Having finished what he came to do, the evidence of his offering was accepted by God. The veil in the temple or in the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, which symbolized separation between God and man, that veil that only allowed that man to go in once a year, once Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice on the cross, that veil was torn in two from top to bottom, thus saying, the way to God is now open. Because of Jesus. And when Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to heaven, Jesus, as a man and as the great high priest, entered into the Father's presence to sit at his right hand. Jesus, the great high priest, is now the only mediator between man and God. Jesus, the great high priest, offered himself as the one and only true sacrifice for man's sin. Jesus, the great high priest, is the fulfillment of God's holy law, which he now writes on the hearts of believers. So it's not about us striving to fulfill the law. Jesus has fulfilled the law, and he writes God's law on our hearts. Jesus, the great high priest, sits at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. And I've said this before, and people can argue with me and argue this case, but I don't think Jesus is sitting at God's right hand praying for Taddy Gordon. I don't think that's what that means. I think by his very life, by the very fact that his offering of himself as the sacrificial lamb, because that has been accepted by God, because he has been able to be raised from the dead and go back to heaven and walk right into the Holy of Holies in that sense and sit at God's right hand, by his very life, he intercedes for us. And Jesus now declares that all who believe in him. And you know, if you'd have looked at some of the people that have been here over the past couple of Thursday nights, we've had people who have committed some of the most terrible, terrible things. Murderers have been sitting among us. Bobby Matheson himself giving testimony. Murder was one of the sins. Others sitting among us, not yet saved. And because of Jesus, he says this, all who believe in him, who by faith in him accept his sacrifice on their behalf, are priests unto the living God. In fact, as we said in our declaration, the Apostle Peter put it this way, you are a chosen people. In case there's any doubt, he's driving this home. He's not saying it in some flimsy sort of way. He's driving this truth home to believers. You are a chosen people. You were chosen by God before the foundation of the world. I was sitting yesterday saying to the Lord, why did you ever choose me? There's nothing good about me. Why did you choose me? What was it about me? And I've missed the point again. Because he's saying, it's not about you. It's about me. It's about my love for you. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. And why are you not? You're not just like the tribe of Levi, who were one of the tribes of Israel and one of the children of Jacob. God's saying, no, 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 no. You are far more than that, because you are my children, and I am making you, therefore, children of the King, priests unto the living God. You are a royal priesthood. Then he says, you're a holy nation. The whole universal church is a holy nation. And this beautiful one, he says, you're my special people. You're my special people. You're my special possession. So that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And isn't it wonderful that Mark Irvine declared the praises and proclaimed the praises of God who called them out of the darkness of addiction and sin into his marvelous light? Isn't it wonderful that Bobby Matheson could speak of the Lord calling him out of the darkness of paramilitarism and murder and all of that stuff into his marvelous light, that he might proclaim to others the wonderful, wonderful works of God? Cyril will do the same on Thursday night, proclaiming the wonderful works of God, who calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Christian, listen. Because of Jesus, and only because of Jesus, You are a royal priest unto the living God. Now, by priest, it means a servant in his house. You are a priest unto the living God. Christian, you can draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And you know what's wonderful? It's not just one day a year. Because of Jesus, that separation, that middle wall has been broken down, that veil has been torn in two, and you can go into your Father's presence as often as you will, and every time you will find him there with his arms wide open to receive you. And it's all because of Jesus, our high priest, who offered himself as the sacrifice for sin. Christian, you are called to serve God and to serve God's people. We're there to build each other up, to stir one another up to love and good works. We're there to edify one another, to encourage one another, to love one another. And as we do so, we're serving God as we serve one another. You're there called as a priest to teach others. Oh, we said, but I'm not a teacher. I couldn't go up and teach a Bible. You're called to teach others the way of God. Do you know, as I say it all the time, when you leave your home on a Sunday morning to come to church, you're teaching your unbelieving neighbors there is a way of God. Whether they believe or not, you're speaking that to them. As you live your Christian life, you're teaching others the ways of God. Christian, as a royal priest, you can intercede for others and seek God's guidance for them. What once was the privilege for only Aaron the high priest and his family, priests unto God, has now become your privilege, has now become our privilege. Therefore, Christian, love and serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, body, and strength, because that's what Jesus died for, that you could become a royal priest unto the living God. Maybe this morning there's someone here or someone listening to the podcast and they're not yet a Christian. Well, let me just say that although Jesus has opened the way for people to approach him, and it matters not how grave your sin might be, although Jesus has opened the way for people to approach God, as an unbeliever, you have not yet made that conscious decision to enter in. Surely, in light of what you have heard about the love of Jesus Christ coming into this world to go to the cross and die because he loved you, to pay the price for your sin, surely his love alone should compel you to begin to seek him. When you think of the sacrifice that was paid for you, the death of Jesus, will you not make a conscious decision to begin to seek God and offer your life back to him? Jesus bore the penalty for your sin so that you wouldn't have to. He did it so that you could approach God and know him as your Father in heaven. Will you come to God through Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that there is a great high priest in heaven, Jesus, the man who entered in, having offered himself perfectly as the perfect sacrifice for sin once and for all. Thank you that his sacrifice has been accepted by you, and proof of that is the middle wall has been broken down. The veil has been torn in two, and the way into God's presence is open for all who will come to you through Jesus. Lord, thank you that we have come, that we have entered in, and that we know that you are a faithful God who loves us with an everlasting love. Help us as royal priests unto you, the living God, to serve you faithfully all the days that you grant us breath, until we are called to enter into the fullness of your presence in glory. But we pray, Father, for others who have not yet made that conscious decision to enter in. Lord, that you would graciously and mercifully extend to them another opportunity to hear your voice calling them, lovingly bidding them to come to you through Jesus, that they might have life and life forevermore, because the sacrifice of Jesus satisfies you for them. May they come to you through Jesus Christ, your Son.